All right, here we are. We're on message two this morning. This morning, Charles and I will both share this message. So we need you to stand with us.
Amen.
All right. So we want to start off by just having a brief review. I know some of you came up. You might have missed the first part of the message, or you might have come up this morning and missed the entire message yesterday. So we want to start by having a brief review. All right. Our topic for this weekend, as you can see, is the age of the Jubilee.
Amen.
And last night, our brother Joe shared with us about this word Jubilee. The word Jubilee in Hebrew is Yobel, and it means the sounding of the trumpet. All right? That's what this is on your cover. It's a ram's horn, sounding the trumpet. And it also indicates a time of shouting. Right, this is not a time to have a moment of silence. The Jubilee is a time of shouting.
Amen.
All right, crazy joy. Now, what was the Jubilee? The Jubilee comes from Leviticus 25, and it was an actual event in the history of the children of Israel, where due to laziness or negligence, an Israelite or a family who had a right to a certain portion of the good land. They owned that land. That was their land. But due to laziness or negligence, eventually they had to sell their portion of the land and, in many cases, even sell themselves into slavery. Well, every 50 years, anyone in this category who had sold either their land or themselves, guess what? There was the year of Jubilee. And in this year of Jubilee, you were released from bondage. You sold yourself into slavery, you were released. Furthermore, you also got to return to your possession. That piece of land, which belonged to you, was just completely restored without any cost to you, just because it was the year of Jubilee. So now this was an actual event in the Old Testament, but this event in the Old Testament is actually just, it's a type, and it's a picture that really applies to us today. As good as that was in the Old Testament, that was just a physical piece of land with, you know, your freedom in an outward sense. But what we want to see is that today we are in the real Jubilee.
Amen.
And we see this. I think it's, if you have your Bible, these verses were read last night, but Luke 4:18 through 22, these verses show us that we today are in the age of the Jubilee, all right? Let me read this to you. Starting verse 18. This is the Lord Jesus, and he's reading these verses. Verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to announce the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to send away and release those who are oppressed. Verse 19. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the year of Jubilee. Now, verse 21 is very important. Then the Lord Jesus was there. He said, and he began to say to them, today,
amen.
Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing.
Amen.
So, this is actually the Lord Jesus here. He's quoting verses from Isaiah, prophesying about the year of Jubilee to come. On the one hand, they had the Jubilee. On the other hand, there was a prophecy that the Jubilee was to come. And here the Lord Jesus is. He reads this prophecy, and then he says, guess what? Today is finally the day. Yes, you had your Jubilee where you got your physical piece of land restored, but now it's the real Jubilee. And what we also saw last night is that this is not just one year, but actually this is an entire age. This is an era. We are in the era of the Jubilee.
Amen.
Every day we should experience and enjoy the Jubilee. So that's a brief review. We want to come this morning. Actually, a lot of what we'll speak was covered last night as well, but we just want to emphasize certain points about this. Why don't you turn in your Bible to Ephesians 1, 3 through 6. Ephesians 1, 3 through 6. All right. And then I'm going to read you this awesome Roman numeral. Actually, let's read it together. Roman numeral 1. So the title of this morning's message is The Blessings of the Jubilee. Roman numeral 1, let's read that all together. The blessings of the Jubilee show us that as believers in Christ, our destiny is to be blessed. What's your destiny?
Yeah.
Turn to the person next to you and tell them, your destiny is to be blessed. Okay, but it's important that we understand what we mean when we say your destiny is to be blessed. That doesn't mean you're going to get a Ferrari tomorrow or that mansion you've always wanted. All right, we need to look at the verses from the Bible to find out what does it mean that your destiny is to be blessed. All right, so Ephesians 1, 3. Let me read this verse, all right? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with a few material blessings. No. With what? With every spiritual blessing. With what? Every spiritual blessing. Not just some. Every spiritual blessing. This is not material blessing. This is spiritual blessing. Furthermore, these blessings are not earthly. They are in the heavenlies. And if you want these blessings, they are in Christ. When you have Christ, you have every spiritual blessing in this universe. Then it goes on to mention some of these blessings. Verse 4. Even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world to be holy and without blemish before Him in love. He chose us before the foundation of the world. That is a blessing. That is a spiritual blessing. We were chosen by God. You know, I was looking, there's this article in BBC and in 2007. And it says this. It's about this Portuguese aristocrat, and he had a great fortune. His name was Luis Carlos de Noronha Cabral de Camara. but he had a fortune, and listen to what he did. 70 people listed in a Lisbon phone directory were contacted out of the blue after his death to be told he had made them his beneficiaries. Do you believe that? How did he choose his beneficiaries when he died? He just looked up 70 people on the phone list, in the phone book, and selected them to receive his inheritance. They had been chosen at random from the directory in front of two witnesses at a registry office 13 years before. It certainly came as a shock to them, a top Portuguese lawyer told BBC News. So it was a shock, right? I hope you all are shocked.
Amen.
That God chose you.
Amen.
All right? Even before we were born, before the foundation of the world, you were selected to be a beneficiary.
Amen.
To receive not just 1/70th of a grand estate, but you were selected to receive every spiritual blessing in this universe in Christ. All right. So now let's move on to Roman numeral 2. Right, Roman numeral 2. It says, the first and greatest blessing in the year of Jubilee is that we are returned to God as our possession and our dwelling place. And this refers to that portion of land that, actually it doesn't say that the land was returned to the people, it says that the people returned to the land. Because the problem is not with the land, the problem is with the people. So we need to return to this piece of land, our inheritance. And this, like we saw last night, Joe read some of these verses, I want to bring out this verse again that he mentioned, Colossians 2, 6 and 7. That says, as therefore you have received the Christ, Jesus the Lord, walk in Him,
amen,
having been rooted and being built up in Him. All right? So, if we're rooted in something, what is that something? It must be the land. Right? And it says, having been rooted and being built up in Him. That means He is the land. So, what does it mean to return to the land? It means to return to Christ. I also like this first part. It says, walk in Him. It doesn't say run through the land. It just says, walk in Him. Walk in Him. You know, it's easy to, maybe you're here in Big Bear, you were late for the meeting, you just made a dash over here for breakfast, sat down. But you know what? There's actually a lot of things to appreciate in Big Bear. If we just take some time to take a walk in the morning or in the afternoon. Maybe some of you want to take a hike this afternoon. Well, with Christ as our land, what do we need? We need to walk in Him.
Amen.
There's so many things that we can easily miss if we're just in a hurry, rushing to get to the meeting. But we might miss the Lord. We might miss the Lord. And then also, usually when the Old Testament refers to this land, which it refers to as the good land, it describes it more than 20 times, at least 20 times. The first time in Exodus 3:8, it describes it as a land flowing with milk and honey. A land flowing with milk and honey. What does that mean? Ask the person next to you, what does it mean for the land to be flowing with milk and honey? Okay, so I think many of you probably had the answer. It doesn't say a land with water and grain. Now, it was a land of water and grain, right? There was plenty of water, like there are fountains, springs, and there was also plenty of grain. But it doesn't just say water and grain. It says milk and honey. All right, what does that indicate? That indicates richness, fullness, sweetness, enjoyment. All right? So this land that we've inherited, that we're returning to, it's not a desert. All right? This land it's abundant. Flowing. Not just trickling milk and honey, but flowing with milk and honey. In order for honey to flow, you need a lot. You need a lot of honey. Right? Flowing with milk and honey. All right? And then another verse that Joe referred to last night, I'm going to read you the Amplified. This is Ephesians 3:8. The last part of that verse says, to proclaim to the Gentiles the unending, boundless, fathomless, incalculable, and exhaustless riches of Christ, wealth which no human being could have searched out. Okay? That is what we're talking about. Returning to our inheritance. This inheritance is unending, boundless, fathomless, incalculable, and exhaustless.
Amen.
Such that no human being could have searched it out.
Amen.
All right? Now I want to give another example here of searching out this land and enjoying this land. Around, for those of you who are fresh in your memory with U.S. history, around 1803, there was a large purchase made of land, and it's called the Louisiana Purchase. The Louisiana Purchase. And, Thomas Jefferson made this purchase. This land was about 828,000 square miles. Now, California is about one-fifth that size. So, it spanned, I believe, at least 15 states. Through the middle of the United States and actually parts of Canada as well. And, it was the size of five Californias. You know, California is the third largest state in the United States, but put five Californias together, and that's the geographic area that was purchased at that one time. Well, that was great. So that land was purchased, and it belonged to the United States at that time. But there was a need for some to go in and begin to enjoy and explore this land. There was a famous expedition called the Lewis and Clark Expedition. They went into the land, and their job was to try and map it out. In fact, they're trying to find a way to get to the Pacific Ocean. But they were going through the Louisiana Purchase, and so their primary objective was to try and find that Western Passage, but their secondary objectives were scientific and economic, to study the area's plants, animal life, and geography, and also to establish trade with the local Indian tribes. So there was a lot. In fact, I think they said their main goal was not to look at these things, but despite that fact, they noted more than 200 new plant and animal species. More than 200 plant and animal species, all right? So there they were, exploring the land, lots of new things that they had never seen before. Animals, plants, and they were enjoying themselves. On the other hand, their expedition wasn't just to enjoy themselves. They were really doing something else. This is a picture, all right, of how we should be in exploring and enjoying. Christ is our good land.
Amen.
All right? That land, as great as it was just one-third of the United States. But our Christ, He fills the universe.
Amen.
So there's no comparison. It took them 2 years to plot out one line through that land. But our Christ is much, much greater than the Louisiana Purchase, much less this earth, much less this universe. Christ fills the universe and overflows it. So how much do we have to experience and explore and enjoy? So many different little details of who Christ is. So many different details. Another verse, Philippians. Don't worry, we'll quickly speed through the outline after we get in some of these points. All right? There's this other verse, Philippians 3:8. Now, I want to read to you the Amplified version of this as well. Philippians 3:8. It says, "Yes, furthermore, I count everything as loss compared to the possession of the priceless privilege, the overwhelming preciousness, the surpassing worth, and supreme advantage of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord."
Amen.
Now listen. "And of progressively becoming more deeply and intimately acquainted with Him." Progressively becoming more deeply and intimately acquainted with Him. "Of perceiving and recognizing and understanding Him more fully and clearly. For His sake, I have lost everything and consider it all to be mere rubbish, refuse, and dregs, in order that I may win, gain Christ." All right? So Paul's attitude here was, you know, he had experienced a lot of Christ. But his attitude was, there's much more. All right? "I am progressively becoming more deeply and intimately acquainted with Him." And in Philippians 3, I think many of us are familiar with these verses. Verses 13 and 14, he said, "Brothers, I do not account on myself to have laid hold, but one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind and stretching forward to the things which are before, I pursue toward the goal for the prize to which God in Christ Jesus has called me upward." All right? Yes, we may have explored a tiny portion, enjoyed a little portion. Maybe we enjoy Christ as the Lamb of God. That's wonderful. But you know what? That's just a very small part. There's much more. There's many more riches of Christ to be experienced. Our attitude for our whole life should be forgetting the things which are behind, even if they're good. And there's so much more. Stretching forward to experience the Christ before us in His riches in many different aspects. But let's be honest. Now, I found another article. This occurred around the year 2000, all right? And this is from Bolivia, a city called Santa Cruz de la Sierra. All right, and in this city, there was a man. His name was Tomas Martinez. He was 67 years old. Apparently, and the police were after him. Apparently, he thought the police were about to arrest him for his alcohol and drug habits, according to Pan America Radio. The man had disappeared without a trace. And here's what happened, though. The police were looking for him, bringing him news of a $6 million inheritance. All right? So this guy thought the police were after him to arrest him. Actually, they were really trying to tell him, look, you know what? You just inherited $6 million from a relative, all right? But you know what? Hey, don't laugh, because actually, this is the way we behave, all right? Many times, you know what? We have rights to a vast inheritance. But you know what? We might live like this homeless guy. We might be just be in poverty, spiritual poverty, because we don't enjoy what's rightfully ours. We have the right to it. But first of all, we may not really see how great this inheritance is. And second of all, even if we see it, we may just be too lazy to enjoy it or to experience it. So let's not be like Tomas Martinez. Let's be like the Apostle Paul,
Amen.
Who was doing everything he could to continually and progressively enjoy greater and greater degrees of our dear Lord Jesus. All right. And then just to close this section, and again, we'll just quickly read through the outline, get to something at Luke 15. But, you know, there's just so many opportunities. Life is full of opportunities to enjoy so many different aspects of this Christ. You know, just yesterday, I think most of us were on the freeway for a certain amount of time. You know what? That's an opportunity to enjoy the Lord. I was, at certain times when I was driving, I was trying my best to enjoy the Lord. At other times, not so much. You know, just little things. Even last night, I was all ready, after an exhausting day and with a headache and ready to go to sleep. And just zipping up my sleeping bag, and what happens? The zipper got stuck. I'm trying to, you know, just go to sleep and get ready for today. That's an opportunity. I was just like, thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Just a little plant, a little Christ there to enjoy. All right. My radiator was leaking yesterday. Thank you, Lord. Amen. It's more opportunity to enjoy the Lord. All right. We're doing our best. All these different experiences. All right. Now, I just want to leave you two things related to this point of, you know, this vast Christ that we're experiencing. One word that I was touched with, it's in the outline, we'll get to it, is this word repent. What do we need to do? As I was preparing for this message, when you see how vast Christ is and how little we really redeem the time to experience and enjoy Him, Our spontaneous reaction should be just, Lord, I repent. Lord, I repent. Repent just means to have a change of mind. And I was thinking these verses from Revelation 2:4. It says, you know, I know your works, your labor, your endurance. You cannot bear evil men. You have tried those who call themselves apostles and are not, found them to be false. You have endurance, borne all things because of my name, and have not grown weary. That's an active group of believers. Right, very active. They're doing a lot of things. But I have one thing against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, where you have fallen from, and repent, and do the first works. But if not, I am coming to you and will remove your lampstand out of its place unless you repent. Anyway, brothers and sisters, we just need to repent. We're short. We may even be active on our campuses, which is wonderful. But we can never forget that what we're really here first and foremost to do is to enjoy this vast Christ, this exhaustless Christ. Just because we're doing a lot of activities doesn't necessarily make that much difference if we're not really experiencing and enjoying all these riches of our wonderful Lord. So number one, repent. And number two, and I'm aware my time is almost done, 1 1 Chronicles 4:10, all right? How many of you know what 1 Chronicles 4:10 is? You should turn in your Bible to 1 Chronicles 4:10. And if you have the recovery version, let's read this together, all right? Those of you can see this verse, 1 Chronicles 4:10. This is, number one, we need to repent. And number two, we need to pray. This prayer that's here in 1 Chronicles 4:10. All right, everyone who has it, ready, go. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that you would richly bless me and enlarge my border, and that your hand would be with me, and that you would so keep me from evil that it would not grieve me, and what caused what he had requested to come to pass." So that first part, right? Oh, all right. Oh, that you would richly bless me and enlarge my border. We need to pray this, right? What does this mean? There's a great footnote there. It says, the enlarging of the border of the good land in the prayer of Jabez signifies the enlarging of the border of what? Of the gaining of Christ and the enjoyment of Christ, who is the reality of the good land. We all should have such a prayer that God would enlarge the border of our enjoyment of Christ. So how do we enlarge our border of the enjoyment of Christ? Pray for it. Just pray for it. Lord, you know, we can pray for a lot of things. And we can ask for a lot of things. And a lot of times the Lord won't give it to us. But I guarantee you, if you pray this prayer, Lord, enlarge my enjoyment of Christ. Amen. The Lord will answer that prayer. Amen. He is waiting to answer that prayer. Amen. All right. Now let's turn to the outline and let's joyfully read through these points. All right. How about we have brothers read Roman numeral 2, capital A.
God's intention in creating man was that man would take God as his possession, as shown by God placing man in a garden for lodging and in front of the tree of life for eating.
Okay, and let me read you 1 and 2. The man created by God has two important needs. He needs God to be his food, and he needs God to be his garden, his dwelling place. Both the garden and the tree of life are symbols of God being man's enjoyment. And then point B, sisters. However, all right, and then point C. Once we repent, there it is, that word repent. Once we repent and turn to God, by receiving the Lord Jesus as the fulfillment of the Jubilee, we are brought back to God as our possession. We lost our possession 6,000 years ago. Adam and Eve, they ate the wrong tree. But today, we can regain it. All right? The way is open. Blessed are those who wash their robes. They may have right to the tree of life. All right? And then point D. The parable of the prodigal son in Luke 15 illustrates that in the New Testament Jubilee, we have all been brought back to God as our inheritance and to the Father's house as our dwelling place and family. We have all been brought back.
Amen.
Famous story, right? The prodigal son, he squandered his possessions, left the Father's house, eventually realized, what am I doing? What am I doing? I wish I could be satisfied with the hogs we're eating. That's what it says in the verse, the carapods. He was wishing. But how many of my father's servants abound in bread? And eventually he just woke up. We need to wake up.
Amen.
Wake up. Too many times we're just eating those carapods on YouTube or Facebook, whatever it is. And then we need to wake up and come back. Come back to the Father's house. All right? Point one. How about sisters, point one? Although... All right, brothers two. When he came to himself,
he desired to be one of his father's hired servants, to be one who sowed, reaped, and harvested, things forbidden in the year of Jubilee, by exerting his own efforts.
Okay? So he wanted to come back, and he's like, Dad, I'm not worthy to be called your son. Just let me work for you. All right. What was the father's response? Point three. Let's read this all together. The father, not having an ear to hear such nonsensical talk, interrupted him and brought out the fattened calf to be slaughtered so the prodigal son, the father, and those in the household could eat and be merry, signifying the enjoyment of the rich Christ as our inheritance. And I'm just going to read you one verse from Luke 15, and then we'll turn it over to Charles. All right? I wish we had more time to really dig in this with you all. All right, so the father, he received the son back. He said two verses, 15, 22 and 23, Luke. The father said to his slaves, bring out quickly the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. And bring the fattened calf. Not just the calf, the fattened calf. Slaughter it and let us eat and be merry. All right, so there, what is that fattened calf a picture of? Not just Christ, but the fattened Christ. All right? The rich Christ.
Amen.
All right, when that son came back, what was the main thing the dad wanted him to do? Son, it's been a long time. Go get rid of the weeds in the yard. And while you're doing that, maybe, if you work hard enough, we will prepare a little bread and water for you. No. As soon as he came back, he's like, I want you to come in. Eat this fattened calf.
Amen.
Let us eat and be merry.
Amen.
That's the Jubilee.
Amen.
That's the Jubilee.
Amen.
Amen. All right, so now we're going to turn it over to Brother Charles.
Amen. Let's enjoy the Jubilee.
Amen.
How about we stand up and shout hallelujah for the Jubilee three times. Amen. The Jubilee is a time of shouting.
Amen.
Amen. Good we can be here to shout.
Amen.
Proclaim release.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. I really appreciate this matter of the Jubilee. We're brought back to God as our portion.
Amen.
God is our inheritance.
Amen.
He's much richer than the Louisiana Purchase.
Amen.
Inexhaustibly rich and sweet Christ. So we're recovered back to God as our portion. God is our inheritance. That's the first and greatest blessing of the Jubilee. Amen. So now we're going to cover the second blessing. How about we all read Roman numeral 3 together? Second blessing. Amen. Awesome. Isn't that an awesome Jubilee? Those that sold themselves as slaves are freed.
Amen.
Now Romans 6:6 says, knowing this, that our old man has been crucified with him, that the body of sin might be annulled,
Amen.
Put away, done away with, that we would no longer serve sin as slaves.
Amen.
So our old man was crucified, what? With him. So when Christ was crucified, our old man was crucified. And we were liberated, that we would no longer serve sin. So I just appreciate this morning, we're just declaring the facts. Actually, declaring the facts is one way to bring yourself into the Jubilee. So I appreciate the Word we're enjoying this weekend. And it's just so good to read the Word. So we'll have some verses. I hope you can also read along and just declare these wonderful facts. And some not so wonderful. For example, that you are a slave of sin. That not so wonderful. That we were enslaved to sin. That sin is our master, captured by Satan, enslaved to sin, not so pleasant, not so enjoyable portions. But actually, our seeing of the facts that we were in slavery, and even to in our experience, we're still enslaved in many things. This understanding, this seeing through the veil of darkness that Satan has put on our hearts, actually, our entering into the Jubilee depends on this. That we would realize there is much more enjoyment of Christ. There's much more freedom I need to enjoy. Right? Freed from slavery. So I just appreciate, I'll just read A. At the time we were saved, we were freed from the yoke of slavery. You know, our experience of the Jubilee, it begins when we're saved. And it is a fact. We are released back to God as your portion. and you're released from any kind of captivity. Yet, I would say it's also a present process. Because the world system, which Satan has created, has such a hold on us. And the authority of darkness still pervades our being. Because, and we'll see this, sin is not a very pleasant subject. It's not a very pleasant topic. But we need to see what God considers sin in the Bible. We need to see this. So I just appreciate one more positive verse before we get into some not so positive, but actual facts. Galatians 5:1, wonderful verse. It is for, how about you all read it together? Or look at it, if you have it in your Bible. Look at Galatians 5:1. And I'll read it to you. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand fast, therefore, and do not be entangled with the yoke of slavery again.
Amen.
So, what does Paul say to the Galatians in 5:1? He says, it is for freedom that Christ has set you free. Stand fast, therefore. What does that mean? That means that there is a danger that you could fall back into slavery. That you would not be entangled like a rabbit entangled in a snare. Back into the yoke of slavery. So I say again, slavery, on the one hand, we're released. Back to God as our portion, back to our real family. But there's also a danger because release in Jubilee is a present process for us to be brought into freedom, brought into release. And we'll see this in this section of the outline. Oh, Lord Jesus. Amen. Okay, so I'm going to read B and C together. How about sisters on B and then brothers on C? Go. Amen. 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 So turn to your Bibles, Luke 4:18. We've read this already a few times, but an awesome verse. This is the Lord's quoting Isaiah 61. This is the prophecy of the Jubilee. And just remember, I just want to go back, you know, Stephen mentioned about what the Jubilee was. It was a recovery back to their possession. They lost their possession, and they were returned to their possession. Well, again, if you remember the story in the Old Testament, which was an actual Jubilee, actual event, if they sold themselves, if they had to sell their land to support themselves because they were lazy and gluttonous, they didn't take care of it. Eventually, you have to support yourself in some way. They'd sell their land to have money to support their families. Eventually, they ran out of that. What's left? Sell myself. So eventually, this is the progression that the children of Israel had in this downward spiral. And actually, this is why the Lord came. He came to proclaim release. Because everybody at that time, everybody today, is the same. They're all a slave of sin. They're all enslaved and oppressed. So how about we all read Luke 4:18 together? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to proclaim the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives. Amen. To send away in release those who are oppressed. Amen. Good. Yeah, so there's three kinds of people. The poor. Man is poor. They're captives. And the oppressed. You know, this word oppressed, you know, in some translations, in one translation, it says that these are the ones whose tyranny has crushed. Right? Oppressed. Not pleasant. Tyranny has crushed. These are the people on the earth today. They all oppressed. They put on a veneer of happiness, a veneer of comfort and ease. Actually, they are oppressed, especially in Southern California. Oh, Lord Jesus. Okay, so all human beings, regardless of their occupation, gender or age. You know, I appreciated Brother Joe shared last night about retirement, right? People are working to retire. They're put into bondage, into slavery. You know, there's a brother who meets and has dinner with my family on Friday night with some students. And I remember he was looking for a job for a while. He graduated college. He was looking for work. And that was a bondage. He just, I want a job. I got to have a job. And he finally landed a job, a pretty good job. And he was really good at it. He enjoyed it. And there was like a year of enjoyment and the Jubilee. Well, it wasn't a Jubilee, but he enjoys the Lord very much. So he's working at this job, and they thought he was so great. They shipped him off to another country for 3 months to train people there. Right? And so he thinks, wow, they really like me. He comes back. You know what his story is today? He's like, oh, this job. It just demands, demands, demands. Now my boss wants me to do this. Now my boss wants me to do that. There's just, I can never have any ease. No comfort. He has his dream job. He loves his job. You ask him, be like, yeah, I love my job. But what does it bring? Oppression. So many demands. It's never good enough. You got to do better. You got to work harder. You got to work weekends. Yeah, there's a little pay. You know, the pay's good, but oh, just oppression after oppression. It doesn't matter what you do. Everybody is oppressed. Slaves of sin, captives of Satan, usurpation and oppression. And then we read one, we were sold under sin. What is sin? Sin, you have to realize, sin is not, we think of sin as maybe murder, rape, lying, cheating, stealing. We think of it as an act. Actually, sin is Satan entering into an illegal union with your body. Satan dwells intrinsically in your being. When did this happen? This happened at the fall. Satan illegally took control. You know, in the Bible it says that Satan is our... We were captives of Satan. Enslaved to sin. So what is sin? Sin is Satan personified. In Romans 7, sin, it uses these words, dwells. It says sin deceived me. Right? Sin is just, it's active. This is what is in our being. And we're all the same. I'm just like you. You're just like me. You're just like others. We have sin in our members. Sin, and this is why we really need the Jubilee. Sin has invaded our mind. It has invaded our emotion, our will. Praise the Lord, our spirit was preserved. When God chose you, selected you, and in time called you, and you believed, you were regenerated. And Christ came into your spirit. Now you have the life giver in your spirit. But our soul, in many ways, and in many cases, is still enslaved by sin. And, I mean, this is easy to see. I mean, I know as a brother, as a male on the campus where I serve, just walking on the campus. You know, I would say this as to the brothers. I realize, I'm just like you. We're enslaved to sin. You know, lust is in our members, right? It's there. It's there in the brothers. It's there in the sisters. And I tell you, it's so hard, isn't it, brothers? It's so hard. You're walking on the campus, and you see a beautiful girl. She walks by. And today's day and age, less clothing. Less clothing. Walks by, especially in Southern California. And that's why I love the seasons. Oh, it's so good to have the winter. But I mean it. Oh, Lord. Amen. So they walk by. You know what? That first glance, brothers, sisters, that's not sin. You know, but the lust, immediately after looking, immediately the lust stirs up. And you, ooh, that was nice. I'm just like you. The lust is there. What do? Sin is there. It's just waiting to control me. It dwells in me. It's terrible. Right? This is our case. Right? Oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
I mean, just the scene. The college life. I really feel for you. College students. I can't say young people because I still consider myself young. But, you know, married, I have a daughter, and, you know, oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
This age, you know, this age, this world, especially in America, independence, freedom. Actually, I just recognize more and more as we go on in our human life, we are more and more enslaved. The situation of today in the media, in the workforce, it just more and more enslavement. And you recognize this when you go out into the workforce. For example, 15 years ago, when you went on a plane to go visit family, I remember, you know, doing this right after college. And everybody in the plane, they just relax, you know, first class. I wasn't in first class, but you walk through there and they're just enjoying, and you know, you just sit down and you read, you enjoy. Now you're on the plane. As soon as they sit down, laptops come up, the phones. I mean, they're working. There's no relaxation. You're working. You have that good job. Guess what? It doesn't matter where you're going. 24/7. Cell phones are so wonderful, right? I can get a hold of you at any time. So now, why don't you pick up your phone? Your boss is like, hey, why didn't you pick up? Or your friends. You just want a little solitude. And your friends, hey, you don't like me anymore. I text you. You don't respond. Right? You were enslaved. Oh, Lord Jesus. Everybody is a slave. This age. The internet. I mean, I can't. There's just so much there. Oh, Lord. How about, let's read two. Two and three. How about sisters on two, brothers on three. Right. Right. Oh, Lord.
And the people of the world are the patients lying on his operating table.
Right.
Remaining passively
in the sphere of Satan's influence, control, usurpation. You know, this is really a fact. You have to realize, saints, this is a fact. Satan, as sin dwells in us, he's our illegal master to kill, control, and oppress us as his captives. You know, and I realize sometimes we think sin is relative. We think some people over here are really sinful, and this person, they're really good, and they have such a good family life. And you know, this person's so proper. I remember in growing up, as a young person, I'd watch this sitcom about this family, this perfect family, and this one, the model dad, you almost feel like he was the same. If he stepped out of the sitcom, you met him on the street, he would be that warm, loving, caring, all-knowing dad, you know, a perfect dad. And I just remember being shocked. This, I was in middle school. When he got caught in an adulterous relationship, he was married for many years. He got caught. And I just remember thinking, no, how could he? I was ignorant, right? You don't realize sin dwells in everybody. So why are we surprised when that famous person, when that good person, when that person of high position gets caught in a, unfortunate, many times, adulterous relationship, right? Or they get caught doing something terrible, right? Why are we surprised? Sin dwells in them. They are just, it's their illegal master. They have no control, right? And it's not just, I realize Satan's captivity. You realize this as you go on. Actually, you really need the Jubilee. Oh, Lord Jesus, I need freedom. And so the reason why is because this point three. And I just want to touch this one thing related to our experience. But actually, before we do that, you know, in Romans 6:6, it says that the body of sin might be annulled. And in Romans 7:24, Paul, he cries out, "Wretched man that I am! Who will deliver me from the body of this death?" So you know what we are? You know what I am, Andrew? I'm the same as you. I have a body of sin, and I have a body of death. You think you're in control. I think I'm in control. I do what I want. Actually, you know, the fact is, I have a body of sin. Sin dwells in my members. You know what that body of sin means? It means that my body is fully active and energized to do Satan's command to commit sins. Because sin dwells in me. And so, now I put it, so it's like this. You're at home, and you get a call, hey, you going to come to the college meeting? And you're genuinely like this. Oh, I just have a headache. I don't feel good. Let's go read the Bible. You know what? I don't know. My stomach. I think I'm really coming down. You know, I just don't know. Okay, well, tomorrow. And you go back down, and you're really kind of feeling like this. And then you get another call. Hey, I got two tickets to that movie at 11 o'clock, premiere showing. Let's go. Oh, yeah, you know, I'm feeling better. Yeah. Yeah, I think, I'll drink some water, and I'll go. And you just are energized. Why do bars close at 2, 3 a.m., right? You know why? Because the body of sin is energized to commit sins. To do Satan's command, you think it's your own will. Actually, it's Satan's command. You're a captive of Satan. Everybody's a captive of Satan. They just are going along. I'm energized. I'm so at, oh, I can do it for hours. I can dance. Oh, I'm just addicted to dancing. I love to dance. Right? I don't, but let's just say. Right? You just can dance all night. Okay, let's read for 10 minutes. Oh, I fell asleep. Oh, I just can't do it. What do you have? You have a body of death. To do things to please God, to come to the meeting, to sit down for an hour and listen to the Word of God. Oh, torture. Oh. Oh, Lord Jesus. What do we have? A body of sin and a body of death. This is what really what it is. You think you have control, you have a body of sin. So you just need to recognize this. When something of God comes in, when something of life, something that will dispense God into you, bring you into fellowship with others, you have to recognize that sense of the headache. You want to go to the prayer meeting? I have a headache. You have to recognize this is sin dwelling in your members. This is Satan pulling the strings to get you to obey his command. You think it's your command to stay home. You know, I realize all of you paid a price to come here this weekend. Right? And I guarantee everybody has a little story. I don't think it was easy for anybody. Hop in the car and get here. There's choices. There's decisions. There's, you know, these little things. The body of sin. To please God, body of death. It's so hard. It was so hard to be energized. And then this point here. So if we see this, saints, I share that, so we would just recognize. I need Jubilee.
Amen.
I need the Jubilee now.
Amen.
I don't stand with how I feel. I hate the enemy. I'm enjoying the Jubilee now presently.
Amen.
This needs to be our response. We don't listen. We don't agree with all the lies. Right? I remember as a young person when I began to read, in college, when I really got restored back into the enjoyment of the Jubilee as a junior in college, I just began to read the Bible. And my reading the Bible, sometimes I would stand up because I would get tired. So I would just stand up. And anyway, oh Lord, I just can't explain how much I enjoyed the Jubilee.
Amen.
I was in the process of getting restored.
Amen.
Back to my rightful inheritance and released from any kind of captivity. So this evil surgeon, you know, let's go to 1 John 5:19. This is a very striking point. And John shares this in 1 John 5:19. How about we all read that together? 1 John 5:19. Ready? Go.
We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies in the evil one.
Amen. The whole world lies. Now this word lies is passive. That means that the whole world lies passively like a patient on an operating table, anesthetized, and Satan is the evil surgeon manipulating and causing the people of the world to do whatever he desires. You know, God has called us for his purpose. God has a purpose. But when man fell, Satan began his purpose. And he began by systematizing the world into culture, religion, commerce, industry, all these things, education, to systematize man for his purpose, to create a godless culture that rejects and rebels against God. That's the case. Your professors today, I'm sorry to say, teaching noble subjects, many of them are actually just like this. Manipulated. Do you like to be manipulated? Are you happy that you found out I'm being manipulated? That's just a terrible word. Oh, manipulated. Hey, David, the other day I manipulated you to go to the store. Oh, thanks, Charles. It's terrible. You know, when you realize what this world system is, you realize you're just anesthetized. You're just out. You're out cold like a patient on the operating table. And he exercises his control. He manipulates. And listen, you have no consciousness of what is happening as he operates. This is really, I appreciate what our brother Joe shared in his testimony last night about false freedom and real freedom. And we just don't realize, we think we're so free. The world today, oh, liberate your mind. Actually, everything is just under Satan's control. You know, I remember when I in senior in high school, I read the Word. My parents brought me into a lot of life practices to read the Bible in the morning, call on the Lord's name. And anyway, I definitely had some enjoyment of the Jubilee. And I loved the Lord, appreciated the Lord. But little by little, you know, Satan, he's just imperceptibly, he just begins to operate. He does it through music. He does it through the television, internet, YouTube. All these things are coming in. You know, I remember one time my dad came in and he found my music CDs.
And he, I remember to this day, I was lying on my bed, and he bust out one of the CDs that I hid, so he couldn't find them. Somehow he found it, and he started reading me the lyrics. Charles, you listen to this song. You know, he'd read me the lyrics, not so good. And you know what I said? I said, come on, Dad, I just like the music. I like the way it sounds. I don't care about the lyrics. Manipulated. I was under Satan's manipulation. Oh, I can watch whatever I want. It doesn't affect me. It doesn't get in the thoughts, the evil desires that are there. They don't get implanted into me. They're not operating to stir up the lust within my members to carry out eventually, to become an instrument of sin, to physically commit such acts. No, that's exactly what's taking place. Oh, Lord! And, you know, it's happening now. I'm not saying it just happened then. I realize there's so much of my being that's captive. Opinions, concepts, thoughts that just control me. Do you want to be manipulated by the enemy?
No.
We need the Jubilee.
Amen.
Because it's happening. I tell you, when you go in, you know, you think you're not slaves. You know, you go into your room and there's the internet there. There's a computer there. You come home from school. What do you want to do? YouTube. No, I got to watch episode 58 of that show I'm watching. You know, we were talking this morning on the way up. Binge watching, right? This is nothing new. It's been around for a few years at least. But you're addicted. You can't get enough. You got to watch that show. And I was telling the brothers, you know, I don't watch those shows. And not because I'm holier than thou. I recognize, listen, if people watch it and they say it's good, I believe them. And I know that if I watch it, I'll get hooked. And I don't want that getting into my brain. Those images, those thoughts, they stay with you. I have to guard my vessel. And listen, I'm not saying I hope you don't feel like I'm elevating myself at all. I'm not. I just recognize, oh, Lord Jesus, I don't want to be under the manipulation of the enemy. All those, you know, all those things, they get in. It's Satan manipulating you. So we need the Jubilee. So we're going to enter into the Jubilee. Okay, let's move on. Oh, one more verse. And Romans 12:2. This verse came to me as I was getting into this. Do not be fashioned according to this age, right? But be renewed, transformed by the renewing of the mind. What is being fashioned according to this age? This is being manipulated. You think you're so cutting edge. Actually, who creates the trends? Who creates the styles? Who creates what's hot today? Satan does. The ruler of this world. And the people of this world are like dead leaves. Just floating down this river, downstream. No life, no energy to go against the stream. So, is that pleasant? Is that a pleasant picture? Oh, Lord Jesus, I want to be standing against this age. Nobody wants to be fashioned according to this age. And I'll just say this one thing. When I was in high school, very few people I associated with, and I associated with a wide variety, believe me, and very few had tattoos. That was very kind of like for a certain group. Mostly they listened to a certain type of music. And it wasn't that popular, and it was kind of stand against it. Today, I mean, at least in Long Beach, it's hard. It's hard to find a single person. You know, when I had a gym membership and I go to the gym, I was just, everywhere I look, it was like somebody. And I'm not judging anyone. But what about being fashioned according to this age? What about just being like a patient on the operating table? What does he do? He just does whatever he wants. He imprints whatever he wants on your being. Eventually, you're just fully under his control. This is just one aspect, saints. And I hope none of us are in condemnation. If you have one, oh, Lord Jesus, enjoy the Jubilee.
Amen.
I'm sharing this so we realize Satan is insidious. And he's operating even now, manipulating. So we want to stand against. So here's the way. D. When we receive Christ is the year of Jubilee. However, we obtain freedom and are delivered from poverty, captivity, and oppression. So we were captives of Satan in Ephesians 4:8. You know what it says? Christ, He led captive those taken captive. Hallelujah!
Amen.
All the captives say hallelujah.
Hallelujah!
When we receive the Lord Jesus, He is the great I Am, the Emancipator. Entered into us as the light of life with the divine reality to gradually and spontaneously set us free from the bondage of sin. I love these words. Gradually, spontaneously.
Amen.
How about all together, read two. Amen. Amen. So what we want to see now, we have to realize the way to be freed now in this present process of the Jubilee is we need to know the law that brings in the Jubilee. So if we want to be freed, what do we need to do? We need to pray, oh Lord, forgive me. Bring me out of sin. Lord, today no more mistakes, no more sin. Lord, forgive me for looking at that and saying that and doing this. Save me, Lord. Just bring me on. So is that what we do every time we go on? We pray concerning our sin, pray concerning our wretched situation. You know what that does? All that does in your experience, it makes you more conscious of your real condition, your issue. What do we need to do? We don't need to dwell on that. There is a law. The law of the Spirit of life. So every life has a law. So the doggy life. You know what a doggy likes to do? A doggy likes to bark. Doggy barks. That's the life of the dog. What does a cat do? A cat, meow, meow. Do you ever see a cat bark? Never. Why? Because it has a cat life. And it all it can do is meow. Okay? And a few other things. Okay. If I have chicks and ducks, right? Baby chicks and baby ducks, and I go over to a pond and I put them on the ground, the law of the life will be manifested. The ducks will head into the water. The little ducklings. And then the chicks, they'll turn and they'll turn away. Because there's a law that governs their life. The chick life doesn't like to be in water. Okay, what does man? Man has a law. The law operates in man. What does man do? Sin. Sin. That's what man does. That's the law that governs us. Sure, man's life, there is a human life that was made good by God. But it's weak and fragile. And the law of sin and death is stronger, much stronger. Satan's power. So, Caleb, could you come up? So this Bible here is maybe a pound. Now, I won't ask you to do it, but I will ask you. Hold it out. Hold it out straight on your arm, with one arm. Hold it like this. Okay. Caleb is a strong, strapping young lad. Now, he's holding this Bible here. Now, I have no doubt. If I said, I'll give you $3,000 to hold that up for 20 minutes, he'd be excited. But you know what? He can't do it. His human life is weak and fragile. 20 minutes, he can't do it. I'm almost positive. I'd probably raise it to 25 minutes. I'd probably raise it to 25 minutes. I would. Okay, so, because I've tried it, so that's why I'm saying. Okay, so what's operating spontaneously and automatically? What, is there another law? The law of gravity is exerting an unending energy force, just bringing it down. I tried in a field to hold my arms like this for 15 minutes. I could barely do it. You try it. 15 minutes. There's nothing on you. So I think holding this Bible, I bet you couldn't do it for 25. Almost fairly certain. Certainly not for an hour. Okay, sit down. Thanks, brother. My point is this. There's another law. But we have Christ. Amen. Listen, saints, Christ got deposited into your spirit.
Amen.
Christ indwells you. Yes, there's a law of sin in your members. That it does control you. And Satan does manipulate you. And in a sense, we can't do anything about it. When we're in the flesh, when you're just around, nothing you can do. But there is a law. The law of the Spirit of life. The operative word is law. It acts spontaneously and automatically. Whenever we what? Enjoy the Son of God. Enjoy the Son of God. All right, point three. By living in our mingled spirit and contacting the living Lord, we switch on the law of the Spirit of life and enjoy its automatic operation to free us from the law of sin and of death. Switch on. So the electricity, Christ, you could say is the electricity, the power plant, has been installed into your spirit. And He's there now. As soon as you believe, He was there. Now, what do we need to do? Do you need to call and say, okay, power plant, ready to go. We're going to have a meeting at 9:30. We need those lights. Let's go. No, they would say, you're ridiculous. Turn the switch on.
Amen.
Flick the switch. Right. Light. In the same way, when you're on the campus, when you're wherever you are, and you find yourself outside of God, what do you need to do? Flick the switch.
Amen.
And the simplest way that I know in my experience, 1 Corinthians 12:3, this wonderful verse, it says, no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So calling on the name of the Lord. Jesus is Lord. Lord Jesus. How about all together we say, Jesus is Lord.
Jesus
is Lord. All the sisters.
Jesus is Lord.
All the brothers.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus.
Jesus
is Lord. In my experience, I get relief because I just call the name of the Lord. Lord Jesus. And when you exercise your spirit to call, to pray, to sing, what happens? Automatically, there's another law. And that law frees you from the law of sin and of death. Saints, we need to be callers. I hope you would take this verse. 1 Corinthians 12:3. You know, there's another verse that says that in 2 Corinthians 8:9, that says, For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, for your sakes He became poor, in order that you, because of His poverty, might become rich. So, because of His poverty, through His crucifixion, we might become rich. Okay, so all the riches are there. And Romans 10:12 says what? The Lord is rich to all who get on their knees, prostrate their face, repent. No, what does it say? Call. All who call on Him. But this is not in our concept. You know what's in our concept? Joshua 24:15. As for those in my house, I will serve the Lord. Right? That's our concept. We read that, our concept, into the Bible. But what does the Bible say? You want to enjoy the riches? It's simple. Just call my name. No one can say, Lord Jesus, except by enjoying the riches. So when we say, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, Jesus is Lord, Lord Jesus, what are we doing? We're activating the law of the Spirit of life. So I encourage you, you need to practice by activating this law. When the Spirit within you is energized and activated by calling on His name, He begins to spread into your inward parts. And actually, the law of the Spirit of life in Romans 8:2, if you read Hebrews 8:10, it becomes many laws. It says, the Lord says, I will inscribe my laws onto their heart. And in Romans chapter 6, it says that, thanks be to God that you have obeyed the teaching into which you have been delivered. What is that teaching? The teaching is there's another law that delivers you. It's not the teaching of dead letters to not do this, don't do that, don't do this. Charles, don't look at that. Stop doing this. Don't say that to your wife again. No, thou shalt not. You know what it is? Jesus.
Amen.
Lord Jesus.
Amen.
As I exercise my spirit to call, to sing, right? What is Ephesians 5? The brothers read that this morning, right? Be filled in spirit.
Amen.
Singing, speaking. So what do we need to do? My last point, saints, is 4. How about we read that together? We do not enjoy God sufficiently. We will still be in bondage to many things. Making up our mind will not work. We must learn to contact our living Lord to enjoy Him. So I appreciate these words, enjoy God sufficiently. Oh, don't you want to enjoy God sufficiently? Oh, Lord Jesus, we're still in bondage. Saints, I'm still in bondage to many things. What do I need to do? Enjoy God sufficiently.
Amen.
So this is really the experience in Luke 15. Luke 15 ends with the father going out to that son who was slaving in the field. You have to read it. And the son has some complaints. How come I can't enjoy? How come I can't do this? What about this? What about me? How come? And then the father just says, son, we had to be merry and rejoice. That's how it ends. Feast and rejoice. So get out of your mind. You may not be a loud person. That's okay. Maybe, you know, you don't like to sing. You know what? There's no law that we impose on you for singing. But what the Bible says is if you want to be filled in spirit, singing is an awesome way to be filled in spirit. actually, this brought me into the enjoyment of the Jubilee. I would say in many ways, I was like the son that was slaving in the field. Not enjoying. Not laboring, right? You're not laboring, so eventually you lose your enjoyment. And what does the Father come out and say? Drop your concepts. Eat that tree.
Amen.
Call on my name.
Amen.
Sing and enjoy.
Amen.
So this matter of eating the Lord by singing, by praying, by calling on His name, I hope we would all be callers.
Yes.
We'd all call on the Lord's name at every time and every place.
Amen.
Everywhere we are, calling on the name of the Lord.
Amen.
When sin strikes you, when you fall, confess and call on the name of the Lord.
Amen.
And if we're those who are calling at every time and every place, eventually, the law of the Spirit of life, it's like getting in the jumbo jet.
Right. Amen.
You're just flying in jumbo Jesus.
Amen.
And you're soaring.
Amen.
You're walking to campus. You're going to take your chemistry test. And you're just calling on the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Gravity is exerting energy, but it can't touch you.
Right.
There's another law.
Amen.
The law of aerodynamics.
Amen.
And you're just enjoying the ride. So, saints, we need to live in this jet.
Amen.
Switch arms.
Right.
Lord Jesus.
And
Lord Jesus,
Lord,
we need to be enjoying Christians. And you know what? There's a brother named Watchman Nee. He ended his life in prison, 20 years in prison. But he said this in the 50s. I really appreciate it. He says, unless we become jubilant Christians, crazy Christians, we're not up to the standard. You know what the standard is? The standard is that a believer who realizes they've been in captivity for 47 years, and that silver trumpet sounds, what do you think they do? Hallelujah!
Amen.
Praise the Lord!
Amen.
Jesus is Lord!
Amen.
Become crazy Christians.
Amen.
We need to be crazy in this way before the Lord.
Amen.
Enjoying our Jubilee.
Amen.
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah.